Air United November, and this is SCARS, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the SCARS organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SCARS server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by Kilo Bravo 8, Zulu Golf Lima, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off this system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they've checked in. Information regarding our operation may be found at www.scarsvoip.com. Your net controls for this session are actually several. My call is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. My name is Kathleen. I'm located in the city of Port St. Lucie, Florida, where we currently have a temperature of 82. It was a high of 86 today, low of 67, but we've got a cold front starting to come through. So I am just merely opening it up this evening. So prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. If so, please come aboard. All right, hearing no emergency traffic, how about anybody anywhere celebrating? Let's try that again. Do we have anyone celebrating a birthday this week or last week or this upcoming week that would like to come aboard so we could say happy, happy? All right, no birthday stations. That means we're not getting any older. So this is the TIN Open Forum. We call it the Thursday Informational Net Open Forum, or TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of a guest speaker or speakers. Do want to advise you, however, if you've been connected to this session tonight and you've actually participated, you'll be part of that recording that's usually posted on our website as a podcast. So with that, I want to sort of welcome anyone that's new out there. Maybe you're just connecting for this first time, but I want to say hello to a special friend of mine, N1FCZ, who I haven't heard from in a long time. So with that, I'm going to throw it over to Gordon, KY6B, so he can begin our program. KY6B from Kilo 6 Sierra United November. The gavel is all yours.
Well, thanks, Kathy. KY6V here, and a big hello to Paul up there, too. Nice to see you on the screen, Paul. Before we get started here this evening, I just want to pass on, for those that maybe did not pick up on the information, that we had a loss of one of our soldiers, South Car soldiers here recently. Slav UA3QGN passed on the evening of February 8th. We're all very saddened with that. And there is a notice on our website on the front page of his passing, along with a eulogy and some audio tips of audio tapes of clips, I think is what I was trying to say, of some of his actions through the past. And that again was UA3QGN. So before we begin, we want to acknowledge the hard work and contributions of our researchers and authors over the history of VPNs and virtual private networks. And for that, I'd like to turn it over to George, N070, and let him take it from there. Mr. Nottingham from KY6V, over.
KY6V and the South Cars TIN tonight, George, N070. And good evening to each and every one of you that is here tonight. This is George, located in Nottingham, Maryland. My call is N070. That's two letters, one number, and one letter. Please, just to keep me out of trouble as well. So tonight on this TIN, we will be discussing technical and computer security issues as an educational activity. Any trademarks or copyrighted names remain the property of the original holder and are used here only in the context of an educational activity. Resetting. This TIN is an educational activity presented as a public service, and gratitude is expressed to the organizations and individuals' public internet files that are available on the web about VPNs or virtual private networks, as well as tunneling technology, and to the researchers and inventors of VPNs and internet tunnel encryption technology. Use of their material is made here under the fair use of provisions of the copyright licenses. And again, they retain all of the trademarks and copyrighted names. So with that out of the way, thank you for being here tonight, and we look forward to your participation with responses to the moderator's invitation for comments during the program. KY6V from NO70, over.
Well, thanks for getting things started, George. KY6V here. So I think you've gathered here, guys and gals. The purpose of tonight's program is to discuss the virtual private networks, or VPNs, secure internet communication to avoid wandering eyes on our use of the internet, encrypted communication, including internet tunneling. We're going to be covering all of that this evening. Gratitude is given for the assistance of Scott, KE4QAF, co-writer, with TIN Net moderators for tonight being Dave, GW8SZL, George, who you just heard, NO70, Kathy, K6SUN, who started the program for us, and David, KB9EWG. Tonight, among our presenters, the names Dave will refer to GW8SZL, and the name David, this is just to keep the confusion factor down, will be referred to as KB9EWG. George South, who is kind enough to frequently drop in by offering his comments, will be referred to as George, KW4LCB in Florida, and George North, the guy that you just heard from, will be referred to NO70 in Northern Maryland. Let me buy a nickel for the timers here. So, because we are fortunate to have more presenters than usual present here on the same TIN, we'll be using a rapid pace format. We change presenters more quickly in the program than usual, and ask for check-ins and comments more often than usual. So please prepare, be prepared to write down and write your question on the net when we call for check-ins. So let's welcome our members and guests tonight to the TIN before we get the actual program started. Is there anybody else, anybody that would like to check in at this moment? And let us know you're there. KY6V, call now, please.
This is Whiskey Alpha 2, November, Bravo Tango, over. Name is Larry. Also Larry, over.
Sierra Echo Zulu.
Lima, Charlie Bravo.
VK2DY.
KP4JG.
Oh, VKHJQ. Sorry, in and out. I'm just busy fixing the dishwasher. Thanks for taking me, chicken.
Okay, let's stop it right there. Grand opening, guys. Thank you. HJQ, you're in and out with a swish. Thanks for coming by down there, Tiger. I've got NBT, Larry. Good evening to you, sir. SEZ, long time, Paul. LCB, Mr. T, up there in Orange City. We've got DY down under in the Sydney area. And we've got KB4JG. Let's go to the top, NBT. Hi, Larry, KY6V in South Carolina.
This is WA2NBT, thank you. And just here to listen to the TIN. I was invited. I was invited, and curious to see how it goes. I'll be standing by. Over.
I'm glad that you were invited, and I'm glad that you're here, Larry. Thank you. Any contribution that you can give to the subject would be greatly appreciated as we go through the program. Okay, Larry, FEZ, have you been down south, back home, over to Europe and back home? What's going on, Paul? Over.
Well, good evening, Gordon. November 1, Sierra Echo Zulu here. Hi, Kathy. Nice to hear your voice, too, George, and everybody on South Cars. Saddened to hear the news about Slav. He will be sorely missed. What a fine gentleman he was. And Gordon, yeah, I've been down to Florida. I was there for 1 week at the beginning of the month. I will be back down there for another week at the end of April. And I'll be there for a little over 2 weeks, end of June into mid-July. So busy working on a house, hoping to put it on the market at the end of next month and get things rolling in that direction. Let me drop it. It's been a long time. I got to remember not to time out. I am on a phone, so all it takes is an incoming phone call to knock me off. So that may happen. Anyway, I don't want to hold it too long. I use VPN on my devices, particularly useful in Europe, where I can get Netflix and things like that and normally wouldn't be able to. So should be an interesting show tonight and looking forward to it. Back to you, Gordon, N1SEZ.
Yeah, okay, Paul. Sounds like you're a busy guy. I noticed that you were using your iPhone because it's publicized on the a marquee of Echolink when you checked in. Have you set a date for retirement? Over.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I have, I guess what I would describe as a soft date of July 1st or July 6th, you know, my birthday, however you want to look at it. But it's an agreement with my employer that they know that a lot of it depends on when the house gets sold. So if the house isn't sold as of that date, I'll continue working until it is. But that's the artificial date or the soft target date. And reason being that I've got a mortgage on this house and I'm still paying, and a mortgage on the house in Florida as well. So can't really just walk away. So, so hopefully the sale goes smoothly. And but I could be here much longer than expected, depending on how things go with the sale.
Okay, I understand, Paul. Well, thank you. Good luck on all of that. And keep us posted if you'd be so kind. All right, Paul, we're going to move on and pick up Mr. T here. George LCB, Orange City. How are we doing?
Good evening, Mr. Six Victor, Ms. Kason, and everyone else connected. What can we say? Snug as a bug in a rug. I'm sure glad we got rid of that bug there. Still a little peaky, but we just want to hop in and say, recordings are rolling, so if need be, you got it also on this end. With that, we'll turn it over to the next in line. Interesting subject tonight. Maybe I'll figure out something I didn't know about. KW4 Lima, Charlie Bravo back to net control.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the program tonight too, George. Well, thank you, sir. Give a hug to Katie and pat the little guy on the head, and we'll catch you downwind. VK2DY. Let's see. It's 7 here, huh? So what is it, about 11 o'clock? 16 minutes after 11 in Sydney. How close am I?
Good morning. This is Robert, Victor Kilo 2, Delta Yankee, and Kellyville Ridge, New South Wales, Metropolitan Sydney. Spot on, Gordon. Exactly the right time.
It is 11:16 Australian Eastern Daylight Time. So that's exactly what time it is. Thank you for that. About mid-80s Fahrenheit, overcast, but no rain so far. We have rain predicted for this afternoon, but we shall see. We've been getting rain pretty much every day since last week when the drought broke, so that's really good. Let me set for a second. So I use VPN largely for geographic shift, and I think that's what a lot of people use them for. Being in Australia, lots of things don't get to us until much later than they do in the United States. So by using a VPN, I'm able to shift my location to North America. It's really funny, you know, Netflix, Amazon Prime, I get totally different menus, totally different systems when I flip the VPN on and when I have the VPN off. Pretty fascinating, actually, how they do that. And there's a lot of sites that are also blocked regionally for people outside of the United States that I can get to using a VPN. So geographical shift is what I use mine for. Thank you again, BK2DY. Back to Ned.
Okay, very good, Robert. How are you coming along with the D-Star DMR situation down there?
Yeah, I'm working on getting DV switch running and getting it connected to All-Star and Echolink. And it's a bit complicated, but I've got some assistance now, so I should be able to make the link over to my XLX reflector and out into the world. No hardware, just all software. VK2DY, back to next.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that. I've got DV switch in the back of my mind, too. We've got a couple of very knowledgeable people on that particular program in our neck of the woods and members of SnapCard, so maybe we can all get together sometime off-channel and cuss and discuss it. All right. Thanks, Robert. I'm going to pass it on to David, KB4JG. David, I don't know that I've had the pleasure of meeting you before. My name is Gordon. McCall's KY6V. I'm in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Go ahead, David.
Okay. Hi, Gordon. Dave, KB4JG. Yeah, I'm also here in Florida. I'm in Delray Beach on the East Coast, where it's hot and humid, as the other Florida stations have mentioned. Yeah, this is my first time visiting on South Cars. I'm coming here tonight to listen to the VPN program. So looking forward to that. Back to you, Gordon.
Okay. Well, nice to have you aboard. Jump in with any comments or questions that you have as the program rolls on. Okay, guys, I'm not going to take any further check-ins at this point so we can get the program going, but we'll have plenty of opportunities as we move on here. I'd like to turn it over now to KE4QAF so he can talk about the rocky road of VPNs, how they became acceptable and even demanded in today's Internet. Now, isn't that a mouthful? George wrote that, incidentally. Go ahead, Scott. KY6V, over.
KY6V in the group, KY4QAF. Yeah, thank you, Gordon. I am, this is the first time I've ever researched and participated actively in a 10. So it's been an eye-opening experience and a positive experience. But it is amazing, especially watching what George does in 070, to pull desperate pieces of information together and have it all click in place. Something I do want to cover real quick, just to get this out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, just to make sure that we're clear on this, it is never, ever, in any way ever, and this is in quotes, perfectly safe to exchange your data over the Internet, no matter how you do it. You know, it's that's just the world that we live in, and the things that we're going to talk about tonight are a layering, if you will, VPNs and everything they do to protect your data. And it's kind of like getting dressed in the wintertime. You know, the more layers you put on, the warmer and more protected you are from the cold. It's the same thing. All right, there's a question that I'd like to answer, and that would be, when was the beginning of VPNs, and what are the protocols used? Well, the history of the VPN, or again, virtual private networks, that technology is a long and stormy history that dates back to 1996, when a Microsoft employee developed a peer-to-peer tunneling protocol, also known by its initials, PPTP. PPTP, if I can get that out, is now an obsolete protocol with a bunch of security issues, and you know, so they don't use that anymore. However, PPTP did provide the basis for development of more secure digital communications protocols. For example, modern tunneling protocols include OpenVPN, L2TP/IPsec, that's Layer 2 Tunnel Protocol, IKEv2, that's the Internet Key Exchange version 2, and the PPTP Point-to-Point Tunneling Protocol. Lastly is the SSTP Secure Socket Tunneling Protocol. Each of these has advantages and disadvantages about their security, public use, and software availability. One thing to note...
This is NO70. Looks like they might have found the limit of the timer, so he has a couple more things to say before we move on from there, so let me see if we can get him back. KE4QAF, we heard you up to the point of the software availability and wanting to discuss the protocols more. KE4QAF, NO70, over.
My apologies. I think that is the first time, and I'm going to have to check my software, but I think it's the first time I've ever went face first into the timer. So I'm going to have to check that and slap myself on the hand if it's setting properly. Let me get back to where we were at. I think I did cover everything. Luckily, it just the ding I heard, it was right on time. So at this point, let me throw it over to George, NO70. He's going to contribute some additional thoughts about the early to modern public acceptance of VPNs. NO70 from KE4QAF.
KE4QAF and the South Cards Thursday Night TIN, NO70, George in Nottingham, Maryland, George North. Hello, George South. Good to hear from you today, too, as well as everyone else. All right. What is the history of public acceptance of VPNs? It is easy to remember the news stories from the early days of VPN research and use before the technology was released to the general public. VPNs had a reputation of use by cat hackers to access the dark web and illegal file sharing protocols. Use of the VPNs allowed them to bypass copyright detection and penalties and download or stream large volumes of media and files that were copyrighted or limited in distribution or use. This use of VPNs for questionable purposes early in the life of VPNs delayed early acceptance. As the early hackers used the VPNs and showed it to their acquaintances, legitimate businesses began to verify the security of the developing VPN technology to see if they could use it for their traveling employees and other business purposes. Understandably, businesses were very sensitive about compromise of their marketing teams, contract negotiations and prices, innovative technical support solutions in the field regarding the infrastructure and other proprietary intellectual properties. Another reason for reduced acceptance of VPNs over time is the slower page response and user perceived delay of website connections. Fred K2HA, who was going to be with us this evening but was unable to be here tonight because of a urgent conflicting obligation, Fred K2HA described one of his test sessions with a VPN provider that slowed his computer response down to an unacceptable speed. Fred had to discontinue his experiments with that particular VPN configuration. Now, the reason for the slower response time of VPNs is the processing time required to encrypt and decrypt the digital traffic between clients and servers. It does take processing time to convert each character in the digital stream from an unencrypted form to one that has been encrypted using one of the hash or encryption keys. The longer the length of the key, for example, 256 compared to 64, the more operations required on each and every character of the stream to encrypt the packet on the sending end, and also then to decrypt it on the receiving end. Therefore, the user acceptance of a VPN depends on the Internet service provider's speed, any Internet delays that are present, the hardware speeds of the destination computer, the speeds of the VPN server hardware, and the source computer's attainable speeds, the client that is using the VPN. Also, if a computer has several tasks running at the same time, including the VPN, then this divided processing power can result in a slower VPN encryption and decryption cycle, and therefore longer delays in the user's perception. So, Dave, GW8SZL, will you please tell us more about business travelers encouraging businesses to allow VPN use for them in local and international travel? GW8SZL from NO70. Good evening, sir.
Yeah, from Gulf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima. Yeah, certainly, George. While businesses were careful to research the risks, their traveling employees were using Wi-Fi hotspots at coffee shops, in hotel lobbies, and even parking in driveways and suburban parking lots to use the internet to post their sales and respond to emails. These employees and more knowledgeable users produced ever-increasing pressure on the businesses and the open Wi-Fi locations to provide VPN services and encrypted tunnels. Also, the rash of high-profile security breaches occurring in the early 2000s was a key moment in the history of VPN acceptance. VPNs today are used for security and privacy. It is critical that they must be encrypted so as to make sure all your data and internet activities are hidden from anybody trying to spy on your network. In modern VPN practice, out of privacy considerations, VPNs normally offer their service with a selling point of no connection logs being kept. Also, some foreign governments have outright prohibitions against the use of VPNs, and the use of a VPN can present significant personal risk to the user. It is possible to use a VPN and tunnel encryption wrapped around a VPN connection to reduce the risk of detection. The risk of such a double wrap connection is that an IP address leak or a DNS leak can reveal the user's VPN activity to the government that desires to block all VPN use. Once one's activity is revealed to the foreign government security monitoring resources, the user may possibly be quickly detected, and a nearby government enforcement official who may be close by might be in a position to respond to the unauthorized use with quick and potentially harmful actions affecting the welfare of the user. There's also a new risk that has just started from scammer pop-up ads for VPN services that hide ransomware and viruses and so forth behind a pop-up with a false link. Scammer VPN pop-ups are starting to appear, with false claims and hidden links to ransomware and dangerous websites behind the link. When selecting a VPN service provider, it is important to research them directly on their websites and not through any advertising pop-up links. The pop-ups from scammers claim that the VPN provider you are currently using is stealing your information and releasing it to other people. They may even falsely claim your installed major VPN provider with a proven reputation and positive test results are leaking your information. The scammer's goal is to have you click on the link in the pop-up instead of going to the VPN provider's website. When you do, the link will download ransomware, botnets, viruses, or other security compromises to your computer. They then sell your information obtained through your click on the link and also possibly man payment for ransomware or to protect your personal reputation. The conclusion is, don't click on pop-up ads for VPN providers. Be sure to go to the VPN provider's website by first resetting your machine, and then after a reset to hopefully remove anything the pop-up window downloaded. It is best for you to directly type in the URL yourself in a new browser window for any VPN provider you wish to research. And another risk is that a VPN connection log disclosure. George NO70, will you tell us more about VPNs and the risk of connection log disclosure? The operating systems of VPNs are available to install, and the new pop-up scammers trying to obtain your personal information or lock your machine with an advertising pop-up. Over to you, George. NO70 from Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima.
GW8SZL, South Cars, and the Thursday Evening Information Net, NO70. Thank you, Dave. And I'd like to make note of the fact that Dave is over in the United Kingdom and that there are VPNs involved tonight in this program, and including having connections active here to protect the program as well. So that's another good point for them. But it is interesting to note, as Dave just mentioned, that in the United States there is no law that says connection logs of a VPN user's activities must be kept in most cases. However, once a connection log is created and stored, the logs may be requisitioned by governing authorities. This was observed with the use of FDI letters requiring carriers and other providers to provide log copies and prohibiting disclosure of that request by the FDI to the users involved. There is a lot of news activity to the general public recently regarding this. Also, other government agencies have requested logs and internet activities from these carriers and internet service providers. Resetting. Without connection logs, marketers and the logs demanded by the previously abused letters demanding an internet user's activities and connections to web pages cannot be retrieved or sent with no log entries being available. The VPNs have the experience needed to deal with untoward intrusions into a business's or user's legitimate needs for privacy of sensitive communication. Remember that sensitive communications is the reason that Microsoft, with the federal government grants funding it, developed the VPN in the 1990s. VPNs are available for almost all modern operating systems, including Linux, Mac, and Windows environments. The use of certificate files provides an object-oriented layering of the technologies that work with the various operating systems. Now, offices mainly use a site-to-site VPN, also known as router-to-router VPN. Scott A4QF really did some digging in and came up with some good information, which we're going to talk about now. In client-server terms, a router-to-router VPN is a server-to-server VPN with the destination computers on either end acting as the client computers. The VPNs perform the task of encrypting the data stream by substituting a different hexadecimal character for each original character. the resulting internet data stream then becomes unintelligible, is encrypted. Resetting. So after we take more check-ins, we're going to ask David KB9EWG more about why we need VPN data encryption. Dave GWSL will tell us more about VPN service calls. And Scott K4QAF is going to describe symmetric and asymmetric encryption. So let's take a break for any check-ins, rechecks, comments, experiences, anyone that would like to add to the discussion. We look forward to your feedback and your input. Please call now to NO70. Over. Okay, just to make sure I didn't miss anyone, anyone with any looking for any check-ins or rechecks, please call now. This is NO70. Over. All right, very good. Nothing heard. So then, David KB9EWG, will you please come aboard and tell us about why we need VPN encryption? KB9EWG from NO70. Good evening, sir.
Well, good evening to you, sir. It's a pleasure being here, and it's a pleasure being part of this TIN. Good evening to all from KB9EWG, Echo 2289. Okay, we're going to talk about why you need VPN encryption. A remote access VPN provides the internet connection to its users remotely by its private network. It is mainly used by home users to connect to their offices. The client computer connects to the VPN server, which then uses its own circuits to connect to the other client. This definition circuit may be another client in a business or a home. It may be another VPN server that then takes its responsibility to communicate with the remote client at the destination. Am I? When a home office user wishes to keep their internet activities private, the user's encrypted data communication is sent to a server somewhere in the world and then sent out as if it were local traffic. This allows traveling business users or people away from home to actually connect to a server banned by a local hotel, coffee shop, business, or home, or host home, or a government to confirm the well-being of the traveler, or update a business plan or marketing decisions, or use social media or streaming services in the banned locations. This is not completely without risk, however. So the user must be aware that of attempting to get around such bans or face hefty fees, fines, and possibly imprisonment or bodily harm. Stand by. Today, VPNs are used to secure internet connections, prevent malware and hacking, and ensure digital privacy, unlock geo-restricted content, and hide users' physical locations. VPNs and tunnels are easy to use and affordable in today's global fiber-based internet environment. Around the world, internet connection delays of minutes have been reduced to seconds and microseconds as older copper lines are gradually replaced with fiber technology by local governments, internet service providers, and cost-shared business networks. Dave, GWSZL, will you tell us more about paid compared to free VPN providers and anything else you can care to talk about with the UK privacy equivalents or price equivalents? GW8SZL from KB9EWG.
Yeah, KB9EWG from Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima. Thank you, David. Paid service price ranges from as little as $2 to $3 US a month up to a couple of $100 a year. Generally, the more worldwide servers that has been installed by a VPN provider and greater login protections, the higher the paid VPN cost will be. Generally, in the UK, the prices are approximately the same ranges in the US. I do have my own VPN, which I've never really used in anger that much. It's installed on a remote VPS. That's for anybody, so I'm finding this very, very interesting this evening. Free VPN service providers are available, but there is a greater risk of release of your personal or business confidential information to third parties, including marketers and target advertising campaigns. Other points of risk are credit card number theft rings and other sensitive financial and social information. Some free providers may use a hybrid or encrypted connections and some packet sniffing technology, including deep packet technology. Firewall technology today includes protection against deep packet inspection, where each byte of the data stream is extracted from the stream for analysis and decryption. Logging in for connection with resale of user information is much more common among free VPN providers. It may not be possible to determine how much of your encrypted or confidential information is being monitored, logged, disclosed, or sold by free VPN providers. Another VPN provider resource to look for is the number of server geographical locations that the provider has online at all times. It is very important when selecting a VPN provider for your selected provider to have a diverse number of locations of multiple servers in each of several nations and cities. It is also important for you to have 24/7 availability of VPN services. If there are international internet connection difficulties, or if governments restrict internet traffic to those servers, then your safe use of a VPN may become slower or non-responsive if the servers are not available. Then the lack of VPN servers will adversely affect your internet safety and traffic security. The conclusion is that you should always type in URLs and never click on pop-up links unless you know the sender without any doubt. Are there any stations who wish to check in or recheck? If so, please call GWSRL now. Okay, no rechecks or further check-ins. Okay. Scott, will you tell us more about modern VPN symmetric encryption standards, please? KE4QAF from Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu, Lima.
Thank you, Dave. Hello again to the group. Symmetric encryption is different from asymmetric encryption. I'm going to discuss this symmetric encryption, if I can say it without my tongue getting tied in a knot. And George, NO70, will discuss the asymmetric encryption and public and private keys in just a moment. VPN encryption is a process by which a VPN hides your data in a coded format unreadable by anyone trying to snoop on your data. Symmetric encryption uses the standard, called AES, of multiple encryption string links. AES stands for Advanced Encryption Standard, and was developed by John Damon and Vincent Reisman in Belgium. This symmetric encryption standard uses a 128-bit block length and key lengths ranging from 128 to 256 bits. Thus, the AES-128 or AES-256 designation according to the block length used. The longer the encryption string, the more secure the connection is, but the longer it takes to decode and decode the encryption. Therefore, longer string lengths seem to slow down the communications because of the additional processing time required. The result is a secure encrypted connection using a symmetric standard. Symmetric encryption is generally faster than asymmetric encryption, but may be more easily broken. And one key can be shared among multiple users. Symmetric encryption has been widely used and has some notable advantages for direct communication connections where protection is desired for someone directly tapping into the private wired network that may be typical of high-security governmental and large business networks. However, asymmetric encryption connections are more common among common digital carrier Ethernet connections. Asymmetric encryption requires the use of two keys negotiated across a VPN connection. The two keys are used to establish a secured connection. However, there must be some back and forth digital communication over the VPN connection channel to establish the secured connection. One of the methods of this negotiation back and forth is called the Diffie-Hellman algorithm. George, if you will, can you discuss with us more about the asymmetric encryption? NO70 from KE4QAF.
KE4QAF and the Thursday Evening Information Net for February 2020. George, NO70, and thank you very much for that introduction to symmetric encryption, Scott. Now, asymmetric encryption can also apparently reduce connection speed with longer encryption techniques, and longer encryption keys, rather, than instead of one key. Asymmetric encryption requires two keys, a public and a private key. Asymmetric encryption is generally slower than symmetric encryption. However, generally it is harder to break. Let me mention that symmetric encryption works very well, as Dave mentioned earlier, when you have a point-to-point wiring between servers. But when you're using a common carrier where there's communication from multiple sources going to multiple destination points, then that's where asymmetric can that's where the symmetric communication can work better. So you have point-to-point going with symmetric encryption and common carrier being asymmetric. The encryption keys in asymmetric connections use both a public and private key, and both keys are needed to provide the secure data stream in asymmetric communications. See setting? Now, these keys may be contained in certificate files. The public key may be publicly disclosed. However, the private key must be as closely guarded as your house or car key or anything that you need protected. Once your private key is exposed to the world, communications are no longer private, and you will need to rebuild the public and private keys to maintain privacy and confidentiality. This rebuild of the keys, public and private, can take some time and effort that you can avoid having to spend by diligently protecting your public and private keys. You know, and I think maybe I'd better restate what I was saying earlier about the direct connections, symmetric and asymmetric. Let me reset. So the way to look at the advantage and disadvantage of symmetric versus asymmetric, if you're dealing with a business or academic or governmental network where the servers are conducted by directly wired hard lines and there's not really any other traffic on that circuit, then symmetric encryption has a lot of advantages for that. However, if you introduce other traffic on the network, such as use of internet service providers and multiple sources and destinations, then that's where you need and want to have asymmetric encryption with public and private keys. Resetting. And those public and private keys are then used to establish a good connection for a virtual private network. All right, so Scott, KE4QL, has some thoughts that I understand about VPNs that do not use encryption. There are those. KE4QAL, thank you again, Scott, for your research and work on this, and let me turn it to you, NO70, KE4QAL.
Thank you, George. There really are no longer any VPNs without encryption. As VPN has come to be understood, it refers to an encrypted private network connection.
VPNs without encryption are dangerous and track the user's data because the user believes that all of their data is safe and that no one can see what they're doing online. But because what they call an unencrypted VPN, they might be using something similar to that, people can see into it. Modern best practices do not recognize unencrypted communications as a valid virtual private network. All VPN commercial providers use encrypted connections. When using encrypted VPN communication, there are still security risks from IP address leaks and DNS leaks or domain name server, what DNS stands for. These links would allow an ISP or monitoring government agency or even security department in your company to still eavesdrop on that client's computer. There are some commercial and free VPN providers that have been tested and proven to leak user activity. Usually, the leak occurs because of a line of code in their VPN connection setup that calls for an IP connection prior to the VPN connection. Or the code might have contained a module that directly manipulated the domain name server handshaking before the VPN started encrypting the connection. There are ways to check if a VPN leaked your connection after you connect to a website by going to websites that report a leak immediately after your target website connection. After more check-ins, Dave, GW8ZSL, will discuss the exciting topic, perhaps even more than lane VPNs, of tunneling, and George North, NO70, will discuss torrents and tors, and VPNs, including if they can be used together. Are there any check-ins, rechecks, or comments? Please call KY6V now. All right, nothing heard. Dave, will you describe what tunneling is on the Internet, please? GW8SZL, KE4QAF.
Yeah, from Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima. Yeah, thank you very much, Sir Scott. A tunnel connection, no garden shovels required, uses computer or server to break an internet data stream into smaller pieces called packets and send the broken and encrypted smaller packets along the public network. The public network data stream becomes a private network data stream. This encapsulation process sends the packets to the correct destination. At the destination, the packets are reassembled by decapsulation and decryption of the data stream received at the tunnel destination. A tunnel does not help provide private network communication over the public internet connection using the World Wide Web backbone. Many of today's VPNs include a software selectable switch to turn tunneling around the VPN connection into the desired on or off setting. The more encryption and tunneling, the slower the result in throughput, but the higher the security. Check the user and help guides for the location of the switch, either in a user screen or in a configuration file. There may be different names for tunnel activation among different VPN providers. A VPN is not required for a tunnel connection, and a tunnel does not have to run inside of a VPN link. Think of a tunnel as the outside of a garden hose wrapped around and protecting the VPN traffic inside of a garden hose flow. The advantage of using both is that you have a tunnel wrapped around the flow of data, and the flow of data has been established through the VPN servers where the garden hose water molecules are actually encrypted computer characters. VPNs are available for all major operating systems, including Windows, Linux, and all its various flavors, and macOS environments, among others. An interesting example of a Linux-based tunneling application and VPN running on a small board computer is the Raspberry Pi Debian Linux-based Stunnel. Then we'll encrypt the email login name and password that would otherwise be discoverable on an encrypted VPN connection because of elevated mail server administration privileges. Without using Stunnel to encrypt this data, anyone intercepting the transmission could now log into your server and gain elevated privileges, much easier than a local exploit would require. Tunnels including Stunnel may also be used to encrypt any service where neither the server nor the client are SSL enabled. Common examples include CVS and MySQL and other client server applications. However, an acceptable connection speed on the slower board computers may require the use of a shorter length encryption key. For example, 128 instead of 256, with the accompanying reduction in security of the VPN or tunnel connection. Any more check-ins? George NO70 will help us understand torrents and how they relate to VPNs. Any check-ins or rechecks for the Surfcast Thursday Information Net, please call now. Okay, no takers at the moment. Over to you, George, NO70 from Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu, Lima.
GW at SNL and the Thursday TIN, NO70. And again, I want to say thank you to each and every one of you who is here tonight for this TIN on VPNs and data encryption technology and tunneling technology. It's to your credit that you're here to learn more, and also we have heard some contributions and received good contributions along the way for tonight's program. All right, let's look at the question. Is a VPN or virtual private network a torrent, T-O-R-R-E-N-T, pronounced Tor, or is a VPN usable or a torrent usable as a separate technology? Resetting. Now, let me clarify, a VPN is not a Tor or torrent protocol, and a Tor is not a VPN. Torrenting technology spreads a data communication stream of packets across multiple servers, sending only a portion of a file to each server on the torrent network. Now, the packets go to all these different servers, just a part of each of the file. Then at the destination, the multiple streams of the packets from multiple servers are reunited into the original communication stream. The multiple paths provide a protection against inspection and analysis by third parties, and then the packets are reassembled at the destination end. That's how the identification of a torrent client is almost impossible. A torrent and a VPN may be used together, however, if a kill switch is used to discontinue communications over the local network in case of ISP disconnection, and also you have to have leak protection, IP leak protection active. Torrents have a history of being used for copyright infringement and dark web activity. Let me reset. Torrents that are used with VPNs led to some early concerns about using VPNs. Early users, both individual and business users, who did not engage in torrenting were concerned about using VPNs and about their business and private reputations, given the Black Hat Hiker association with early torrenting use. Also, there was a lot of anti-VPN sentiment showing in government and some White Hat press releases and articles in the early days of VPNs. This anti-VPN sentiment greatly prolonged the acceptance, use, and added security advantage of connections through both commercial and user-created virtual private server networks. Now, further discussion of torrents is really beyond the scope of this VPN TIN. However, it is highly recommended that you read about IT leaks and kill switch technology, as that is very applicable to VPNs as well as torrenting. Now, torrenting is more accepted in modern use, and even some of the small board computer providers like the Raspberry Pi do use torrenting as a way of downloading their open source files that you can use to create operating systems. So are there any questions now about torrenting and VPNs? And I would understand you may have some, but, so don't be bashful. Are there any questions about torrenting and VPNs? Please call NO70. Over. Well, that just proves to me we have some good students because there's a lot of good active listening going on. Very good. All right. With that, then, let's ask Scott, KE4QAF, to look at the future of VPNs. KE4QAF from NO70. Thank you, sir. Over.
Thank you, NO70. Some possible future changes to VPN conventional use could include a focus on authentication using multi-factor or 2MFA call and response. Also, the utilization of 2FA, which is two-factor authentication, will become much greater. 2FA would utilize a password and, for example, a cell phone text to a previously configured cell phone number. Another change may be that VPNs will be built into the operating system and will be invisible to most end users. Everything will be automated on the VPN client and the management side. Network administrators won't need to take care of anything related to VPNs at that point. With a call for final comments, here's Gordon, KY6V. KY6B from KE4QAF.
Well, thank you, Scott. KY6B here for South Cars. Interesting stuff, guys. I'm going to try and have this podcast into MP3 form and published on our website tomorrow. I suspect that some of us will probably have to listen to it two or three times to really understand what we're saying. You know, we got a little technical, but the technical aspect has to be discussed for a best understanding of the overall process. So at any rate, at this time, let's take any other check-ins from the audience. Any questions, any comments? Anything for the good of the order. Call now, please, KY6V. Okay, everything's quiet on the Western Front. Let me do this, if I may. I'd like to pass it through to each of the moderators this evening and get their uncandid observation of the process that we were discussing. Their likes, their dislikes, the good, the bad, the ugly, you know, that's the way we've been advertising it. And then we'll start looking towards a closing. David, may I start with you, sir? I've got 809 here in the grand state of Florida. So that must mean that it's about 109 in the UK. I hope you don't have an early morning schedule. KY6V. David, over to you.
Yeah, from Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima. And yes, it is 1:09 a.m. here. And yes, I do have to be up rather early today. But that's another story. Nothing to worry about. Yeah, thank you very much. It's really, really interesting knowing actually how it all works. As I mentioned, I have a VPN on a remote VPS, so I really haven't used that much. I just set it up to find out how it all worked, and it's sitting there doing very little. It's OpenVPN, but it's been really, really interesting, and I've learned a lot. I'm sure everybody else there listening as well. Very, very good show there, everybody. I'll just pass it back to Gordon there. KY6B. This is GW8AZL, and I made a recording as well, Gordon.
Oh, that's great. We've got recordings all over the place. I think that I'm pretty secure. I haven't seen any bumps or burps or anything on any of the machines here, so I think I may have a clean copy, but I'll come calling on your door if I run into trouble when I do the editing in the morning. Well, that's interesting that you're running a VPN there, Doctor. Let me ask you this. Is it symmetric or asymmetric? Over.
Yeah, from GW8AZL. Well, to be honest, I'm not sure, but I will be checking that tomorrow. But it is OpenVPN, and as I said, I only installed it to have a little play with it. And as I said, I have not used it in anger, but that's on my to-do list tomorrow sometime. Just to double-check. Gordon, go ahead.
Well, you know, I was asking that with tongue-in-cheek. I think I would probably just investigate whether you needed a single key or two keys. Get the answer and say the heck with the rest of it. Okay, KB9EWE. Thank you, David. Dave there in Wales. We're going to pick up David in La Crosse. Any comments, sir? And thanks for being with us tonight. Over.
Well, good evening to you once again, Gordon, and everybody else. Just want to say thank you for asking me to participate in this evening's presentation. It was my pleasure helping to present this. Of course, you know, I will be presenting this to my students that I've been working with on Elmering and through the hobby, so I will be making sure I share a link to this TIM with them tomorrow once the link is posted, the podcast is posted. And it's been my pleasure participating this evening. It's been educational to me as well, and I will probably listen again a couple more times to pick up on a few more things on this. So, do appreciate being part of this. Thank you, George, for asking me to participate. So with that, Gordon, I'll pass it back to you. And once again, I am recording as well. And if it's not needed, well, it's there anyways as a backup. KY6B from KB9EWG.
Okay, very good. Well, thanks, David. KY6A here for South Cars. Don't scare your students. Tell them, you know, the push comes to shove, they can get in the Echolink without two keys, and I'll leave it at that. KE4QAF, nice job. Smooth presentation. Thank you, Scott. Go ahead with your comments.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that, and I want to thank everyone for being here tonight. Last comment I have about any software that you run, especially VPN software, is look at where the company is incorporated. For example, the VPN software that I utilize, they're home office and where all the records are is in Switzerland. So the only people who can get those records would be the Supreme Court in Switzerland, and there's some other court, I forgot what it's called, but that's it. So, you know, the FBI just can't knock on their door and say, hey, give us all the information on KE4QAF. It doesn't work that way. But that's my last little bit, and I wanted to thank George for including me on this. It's definitely been educational, and it's definitely been a pleasure. KY6V, back to you from KE4QAF.
Well, great. Thank you, Scott. I thought your VPN was in Atlantic. What is this, a multiple server VPN to get you into Switzerland?
Negative. They have servers all across the world. And you can decide which country you want to be from that day. You know, occasionally I've always wanted to be from the UK, so I use the UK server and Australia the same way. But you can decide what country that you know you want to go through and come out. So yeah, when you look at my IP and it says that it's in Atlanta.
Now, that's just where one of the servers is, the output side of the pipe, if you will. Over.
Yeah, that's interesting. George does that to me a lot, and he's coming up next, so be prepared there, NO70. I'll make a comment here, Scott, that I can tell almost where and what VPN George is running at the moment that we contact by the delay in the communication. Any comments on that? Over.
Oh, sure. That can happen with any VPN. Or if you're in a place in the world where they just don't have many high-speed links out, and when I say high-speed, I don't mean what we get in our house. I mean, you know, phone company high-speed, huge, huge pipes. There are countries who don't have that, so yeah, that lag is normal. With me, I get to choose the fastest server, so it does some kind of quick algorithm to come up with whichever is fastest at that time, and it puts me down that lane, so hopefully my delay isn't that bad. KY6V, KE4QAF.
Yeah, I'm not, by no means saying that George's delay is bad. It's just noticeable for my ears, anyway, or my way of thinking. Okay, thanks, Scott. I guess you're the end of the totem pole here, George. Thanks for all your effort in the preparation of tonight's program. You know, my comments a moment ago about your VPNs was just pulling on your trouser legs. KY6V, over.
KY6V in the South Park TINNO70. Oh, absolutely. I'm just looking forward to when your and Kathy's new kitty cat starts pulling on you guys' trouser legs and climbing trouser legs. Well, anyway, all right, I better get back to the topic at hand. Regarding the question of whether Dave, GOD8SZL's OpenVPN is symmetric or asymmetric, well, he had to prepare certificate files for both the public and the private key for OpenVPN. Therefore, it would be asymmetric. I do want to say that I realize how much difficulty I had distinguishing in my earlier comments about symmetric versus asymmetric, and hopefully when I came back later, I clarified some of that. I do commend to your reading, however, for your own interest and proficiency as a ham operator, some reading about encryption keys and certificate files and how the asymmetric and symmetric standards are applied. Let me reset. And now I'm going to introduce a little bit of interesting history, too. We talked about the fact that businesses were kind of slow to adopt for their traveling people, and also private individuals, including myself as a traveling musician, that were looking for Wi-Fi hotspots to communicate back. I needed to let people know if I was going to be late to the next gig or let somebody else know when to expect me. Businesses would have their traveling, their marketing people out there. And earlier on, there were fewer Wi-Fi hotspots. So what you did that goes along with VPNs was very simple. You would walk along down a sidewalk in the downtown area of a city and look for the signal of a Wi-Fi hotspot inside. It wasn't always posted on the doors like it is today. It may just be present, but not marked on the door. Let me reset. So to help each other out as traveling users of Wi-Fi in early days of Wi-Fi and VPN encrypted connections, when you were walking down with your little device to look for Wi-Fi signals and you came across one, then you would take a piece of chalk and put an X on the sidewalk in front of a store that had the Wi-Fi hotspot, the open Wi-Fi hotspot, and then activate your VPN and connect that way. That process was called war talking, as in, you know, your war talking, Wi-Fi wars. Yes, let me reset. Another option, although it has now begun to be outlawed in many locations, would be driveway and neighborhood sitting. If you're out in remote locations and where there are few and far between Wi-Fi connections, if you came across a Wi-Fi signal, maybe the housing complex has a mini area where it provided Wi-Fi inside that housing complex. Maybe someone's home out on the highway had a signal that reached out to the street. You might go and sit in the footprint of that Wi-Fi signal, connect to that open Wi-Fi, activate your VPN, and connect from there. However, that has become increasingly illegal nowadays. I don't recommend it, but I do recommend knowing about it having been there so that you don't make any mistakes in connecting to open Wi-Fis and trying to use a VPN or Sonal to mask. Be careful because it is definitely illegal nowadays to siphon Wi-Fi signal. Let me reset. So I hope that little historical retrospective on war talking and neighborhood and driveway sitting and signal appropriation is of interest as well. With that, I again commend to you further reading on encryption and decryption standards and symmetric and asymmetric communication and torrenting, because you will find it to be an increasing part of the use of Internet activity, and since we use digital radio operators, it will become a part of our life more and more, as our moderators mentioned earlier. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Gordon, for the South Cars opportunity for the Thursday Information Net, KY6V-NO70. Over.
Okay. Well, thank you, George. KY6V. I was just sitting back and thinking while you were talking that I see the day coming where the newer computers coming out are going to have a lot of this built into the motherboards so that it's automatic and sort of hands-free to utilize for the protection that's needed. And your comment about the sniffing of the Wi-Fis, the routers and so on, stimulated a memory. Wasn't it Google that had to do some fancy Texas two-stepping because their mapping cars that were running all over the streets of the world were sniffing? Am I remembering that correctly? Over.
KY6V and the South Cars TIN NO70. Absolutely, Gordon. You are remembering that correctly. That what Gordon is talking about is the cars that take the pictures of the neighborhood locations, and there have been some very embarrassing pictures taken as well by Serendipity. There was an obvious one picture that reputedly was that of a kidnapped person climbing out of a trunk who had all his belongings, including what was on him, taken, and the car happened to drive by at the same time. That was one of the things, but let me come back straighter to the point. Yes, the cars were using the Wi-Fi connections. They were recording the Wi-Fi SSIDs. And let me mention another fact about that resetting. And they still do that practice. They got in trouble with it, but then it was upon court appeal found that the Wi-Fi SSIDs that were broadcast were public knowledge. However, the court did also require that Google to provide a way for the Wi-Fi signal owner to not be listed upon request to Google. So what they did was they implemented a procedure in their Wi-Fi SSID or signal gathering where if you append to your Wi-Fi SSID the word NOMAP, N-O-M-A-P, or underscore N-O-M-A-P, saying, no map me, don't map me. If you append underscore N-O-M-A-P to your Wi-Fi SSID, that is notice that your Wi-Fi SSID is not to be recorded by the roving detecting cards. So for added security on your Wi-Fi, along with your VPN, use no map on the SSID. All right. Thank you, Gordon. KY6V and the TIN N070.
Okay. Well, thank you, George. Well, you know, you got me sitting back asking myself a lot of questions, and we'll get into this at another time because we're getting way off the subject, but I guess the prominent question is, why turn your SSID on? If you're a home operation, you're only using it internally, why is it necessary? Over.
KY6V and the HIN, N070. Well, it can be helpful when one is installing new equipment for the Internet of Things, you know, whether it be a small board computer like the Raspberry Pi or some of the other brands of small board computers, or refrigerators or freezers or anything of the Internet of Things. A hidden SSID doesn't give the new equipment anything to hang a hook on. If it is broadcast, then you may have to select from a menu of available Wi-Fi SSIDs or signals and then connect, or you may be having guests come to your home and have a guest option established on the router, but they won't know which of the signals to connect to, especially if the SSID is hidden. So there are some practical advantages to having it, having the SSID broadcast. However, if these advantages, like Internet of Things, and visitors, guests, so forth, do not apply to your ham shack or to your other home location, then absolutely correct that it is a good idea to hide the SSID, not broadcast at all. KY6V on the TIN N070. Over.
Yeah, good points, George. Well, if you're getting a new refrigerator that needs to talk to your Wi-Fi, turn the SSID on, establish things, and then turn the blooming thing off. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going astray here. Any other check-ins before we wind her up for this evening? Any other comments, please? Call now.
Net Control, this is K5NO, Kilowatt 5, Nowy, Ontario.
Well, hi, Mark. Good evening to you, Tiger. I assume that this evening you're probably up in Winter Springs, but who knows? I didn't see you on the list earlier, so maybe you missed part of the program. We've been talking about VPNs and stuff. Mark, over.
Haven't had the gist of it, so I'm going to stay that way. But all told, it's nice to meet you. Had my birthday yesterday with my wife. And it was a great one. I turned 65 today, so open the senior discounts, if you will. Other than that, nothing much. 77 degrees under partly cloudy skies. The rain is coming during the midnight hour, and only 58 for the high on Friday. So, back to you, Gordon. 73s and all the best. KY6V from K5NO.
Yeah, okay. Well, happy birthday again, Mark. And I saw that on the weather prognostication page. You know, we hit 86 down here today. I don't know what your high was for the day. And tomorrow we're going to have a rip-roaring high of 71 degrees. I tell you, this roller coaster put you in the sick bed. Is the way that I'm going to put it. All right. Thanks for coming by, Mark. Anybody else, please? KY6B.
Comment, QAF.
Comment, QAF. Mr. Kentucky. Go ahead, sir.
All right. One thing I wanted to say, you all were talking about SSIDs, whether to have them on or off. Aside from what George was saying, which was good, is just so everybody knows, turning off your SSID makes you no safer. It's the equivalent of taking the house numbers off your house, and then you don't think anybody can see your house because the house number isn't there. That's the way that the security bigwigs, you know, Cisco and other big places have trained me. So I just want to pass that along from a security standpoint. Not having an SSID doesn't make you any more secure. Thanks, Mr. Gordon. Thanks a lot for overseeing us and riding herd on us wild cats as we try to do this presentation. KY6V from KE4QAF, back to Net Control.
Well, thank you, Scott. I'll have to think about what you just said about the SSID a little more. And you guys did the yeoman share of pulling this program together. So thank you for all of that. Okay, guys, we're about ready to wrap it. I want to mention in parting here to send your thoughts and prayers to our friends in Russia for the passing of Slav, and obviously particularly to the wife and son who are grasping with the situation and moving with it in the best manner that they can. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to close the net for this evening. I'll try and get the podcast out before noon tomorrow and posted. Thanks for all of the participation. Thank you for the presenter's time and effort. And we're going to move the Southcar server back to normal use and close it down for this evening. This is KY6V for Southcars. The TIN is now closed officially. And thanks, everybody. Bye-bye for now.